Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And once again, we've got something back that we're starting as a weekly feature. Going to give it a try. So we've got Karen Bostick here from PetPage.com. Welcome back to the show, Karen.
Oh, well, welcome, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's good. I want to know what's new. What's new in the pet page world, PetPage.com? What's new this week?
Well, we're definitely kind of one of the top things that we are focusing on in the pet world is increasing awareness for advanced veterinary care. So for like board certified veterinary specialists, and like the one who saved my little dog Tink. So I know, as you probably remember, Deb, but let me just kind of update everybody and let everybody know that my little Malty poo Tink, He several years ago almost died suddenly from an autoimmune disease, and I was not referred to a board certified veterinary specialist, and I was not aware that, you know, board certified veterinary internist even existed. And because of my lack of awareness of this, my little sweetie almost died, and because he definitely needed advanced veterinary care. And so that is kind of my reason for creating PetSage.com, was to create a place to share my mission with everybody, and also a place for other people. There's, you know, other pet advocates and pet lovers that have their stories and their mission to share with me. So that's kind of the reason why I created PetSage.com, was a place for us to have fun as pet lovers and enjoy each other and share everything together. So we have lots of fun stuff going on there. But with everything that we've got going on, I am excited to focus back on my mission, which is to increase awareness of advanced veterinary care. So we have been super busy. Right now we're partnering with veterinary specialty hospitals and veterinary specialists from all across North America, and we're in the process of building a very robust, it's going to find a vet specialist.com. It's going to be a place where people can go to find veterinary specialists in their area. And also, it's going to be a wonderful source of credible pet health information, because I'm partnering with the board certified veterinary specialists who have published numerous, you know, each tons of articles on, you know, pet health and pet diseases and the latest kind of symptoms and the latest advances and the latest, you know, in treatment, so that way pet owners can find out information that's also can be a resource to the veterinary community in general, kind of a one go-to place. And we're doing all of this. I'm super excited. We're doing all of this, and we're going to have the online vet specialty lookup that's linked to petspage.com by in time for our documentary. So Tinks and I are super excited. We've got his story, and our mission is the focus of a pet owner awareness documentary for public television that's going to begin airing around mid-July on television stations, on public television stations like PBS and your local public television stations for over a year. And so we're super excited about that. It's going to be a story. It's going to share Tink's story and about what happened to him, and also we've got his internist is on there, and she shares some information, and Dr. Sue Ettinger, who's a board-certified veterinary oncologist, who's known as Dr. Sue Cancer Vet, she shares some good information on there, and it's actually going to be introed and hosted by William Shatner, so we're excited.
Oh,
a little bit of name-dropping there.
I'm a Trekkie from long time ago, and also he's actually in my family tree. He's a distant cousin of mine, and I'm dying to get him on the show because William Shatner has been an advocate for Morgan horses, all kinds of different horses. He used to own Dobermans. I read his biography, his autobiography, and in it he talked about actually living in a I think it was a van or a truck with a Dobie while he tried to make it. And some time he spent in Las Vegas that way. So I'm dying to get him on the show to talk about animals or targs or whatever. So I'm really, really hoping we can have William Shatner here on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. He's done a whole lot of charity work for horses. And he actually competes in steeplechase and other events. So he's so perfect for my show. So petpage.com, we've only got a couple of minutes left with your segment, Karen. I'm surprised that your vet didn't connect you to the specialist you needed. And I think some people listening might be too, when they think back to your case.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
why
definitely.
Why isn't it just automatic? If you need help and your vet can't help you, why wouldn't they just refer you on? You know, where was the gap there? Why did that happen, do you think?
And it happens more frequently than it sounds like that you might be aware of, because I get, you know, told, I have numerous, unfortunately, stories that did not have, you know, the same fate that Tinks had, where he did actually survive, because we did find out just in the nick of time. So it is very common. Just oftentimes, sometimes the veterinarian, they may overestimate their experience, or they may underestimate the disease entirely. So with Tinks's disease, it was an immune-mediated hemolytic anemia, and the board-certified internist who helped him, she sees those cases, you know, that's the only type of similar cases like that she treats.
Right.
She treats several of them that summer, and then where his general practice veterinarian, you know, may have treated one or maybe treated two, it's just not, and so she's, you know, she stays up on, you know, more routine things, the general practice veterinarian, and not, you know, it's impossible. It's literally impossible for a general practice veterinarian, just as in human medicine, where we have the medical doctor, our typical, you know, our family practitioner that we go to, and then whenever we go to them, if we get diagnosed with, you know, an immune disease.
Well, you know, it is incredible when you think of what the general practicing vet has to cover. You know, we go to all kinds of specialists, but we take our dog or cat to one stop. So I'm so glad, we only have a few seconds left, but I'm so glad you've got this resource developing where people can find the specialist they need at petpage.com. So I guess, Karen, I'll talk to you next week. Come back and see us next week. Give us a look at what's going on at petpage.com, if you will.
Great. Sure will. I'll update you on our Animal Planet commercial, too.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well,
thanks,
thank you, Karen.
Okay,
have a great
see you week. Later. Bye.
All right, everybody, stay tuned. I know we've got a big show for you today. We've got Dr. Don Canfer later in the show. I haven't talked to him for a while, so we'll check in with him and the animals of Florida on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And once again, we have our old friend who's been here before, Dr. Don Canfer. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Don.
Well, thank you for having me.
So you're in Florida, right? Is there something us pet owners in Florida need to know this time of year? It must be so wet and hot and flea friendly, I'm guessing, in Florida right now.
Yes, it is. And I hope we don't get disconnected because we are in the midst of a lot of severe afternoon thunderstorms right now. And they're coming and going, and periodically power goes out. So if for some reason I should disappear, that's probably what happened.
You know what? Let's talk about that, because all over the world there's thunder. Some places get hit worse than others. I know Florida's really, really bad for it. But there are a lot of animals who just get neurotic. They get terrified. Some of them dig, some of them claw, some of them hurt themselves, escape. Some of them break things, dig at walls. I mean, what do we do, Dr. Kampfer? What do you advise people who come to you with thunder fear?
That's a tough one. Yeah, I don't know what's more common, phobia of thunderstorms or separation anxiety. They both seem to run about equal in animals, particularly dogs.
And together. They often go together, right?
I'm sure, because, you know, if you're fearful of one thing, you're going to be fearful of another. Not a good answer. There's a variety of different things. I've seen a colleague of mine sells these shirts. They're security blanket things. You put them on your dog, kind of like a little winter coat that you'd put, you know, you see the little dogs in the snow wear. And it's supposed to soothe the dog, I guess, make them feel secure. He swears by them. He says,
yeah, the thunder shirt you're talking about, I think. There's a few different wraps and brand names of these things that fit really tight, right? They fit the dog really, really tight, and they're supposed to give him touch comfort.
That's right. But I've got several clients that say they've tried them and it just didn't seem to make any difference. So I don't know. There's pharmaceuticals that, of course, will work. The problem, I think we've talked about this once before, problem with drugs is that they have a lag time. By the time you give the dog the pill, by the time that pill is absorbed and starts to work, the thunderstorm's long since gone. And the dog, the phobia begins because they can sense the storm coming long before we are aware, before we get the bulletin on our phone or on the TV, or before we hear the rumbling of the thunder. They can sense the sound waves, the vibration, the change in air pressure, the ozone layer. Whatever, they have ways of sensing this long before we do. And so the phobia's already kicked in. And so giving them drugs to try to counteract it is pretty much a lost cause. The best thing,
because by the time it's in their system, now they're all stoned and relaxed, and the storm's long gone, right? They've already had their 2 hours of terror. So it doesn't, the timing's off is what you're saying, I think.
The best method is counter conditioning. And normally that would involve the help of an animal behaviorist, because it's not something the average person is going to be able to affect on their own. There's books out there. There's videos. You can go on YouTube. I'm sure there's opinions are like noses. Everybody's got a technique that, you know, they will say works for them. But generally,
the basic idea is you get the pet small doses of the thing it's afraid of. And over time, you get it more and more comfortable and relaxed. So if your pet's afraid of a train, you don't walk right at the train station. You start a mile away and you have a happy short walk where you can sort of hear trains. And you do that over and over and over and over until you can actually walk right by the train station and the pet knows, okay, I don't have to be afraid of trains anymore. I've done this 1,000 times and it's always been positive. It's hard to deal with thunder, though. They have tapes of it and recordings and different things you can do. There's also, how do you feel about the rescue remedy type stuff? There's stuff you're supposed to, it's not a drug, it's not a pharmaceutical, but it is a drug, really. Right? Or what do you think about that? These all-natural remedy type things.
Sure. Some of them are herbal-based. Some of them are pheromone-based. They use synthetic pheromones to supposedly calm the dog. Again, the problem is the timing. You know, by the time we are aware that the storms are coming and we need to do something, the anxiety is already set in with the dog, and it's hard to get these things to work in a timely manner. The counter conditioning is the best thing, and there's tapes that you can buy that you can play for the animal. Again, the problem with just the tape recordings or the sound is you don't have all the other cofactors. You don't have the lowering of the air pressure. You don't have the vibrations. You don't have the change in the ozone content of the air. There's a lot of factors that go into it.
And you know what? There's a lot of indicators. Because, again, nobody really understands this problem fully, but there's a lot of indicators that it's actually the electric charge the dogs are reacting to. Because most dogs, if given an opportunity, will seek out a grounded place like the bathtub, the toilet. They'll go into the bathroom for some reason. And so people kind of guess from that that they're trying to get away from the electric charge in the air. Whatever it is that they're picking up on is that same thing that makes them safe in a tsunami when all us humans die. So we shouldn't poo-poo it too much. They're on to something, right?
That's correct. And when you bring up the electric charge, you know, something dominant we see pretty commonly with cows, they are notoriously sensitive to what we call stray voltage. And a lot of your dairy farms where they have, you know, the milking machines, you know, work on electricity. And it doesn't take very much, something improperly grounded. It can be as little as 1 or 2 volts, something on the order of milliamps. And the cows will stop milking. They'll refuse to enter the milk parlor. Milk production will just drop dramatically. And oftentimes you have to not necessarily call in a veterinarian or an animal behavior, you just need to call in an electrician.
You know, that's interesting, because when I was back in law school, I remember reading all this case law where the two sides were arguing whether or not the hydroelectric power lines running through a farmer's field were damaging the farmer's cattle. And there were like loads of cases of this all over North America. This is like a big deal. So then it makes you wonder, though, if it's disturbing the cows and their milk, what's it doing to us? I know they say it's not doing anything to us, but aren't we mammals? Milk mammals, just like them. We feed our young the same way. What would it do to a nursing mom to live near a power line?
Well, you know, nobody knows, but I will tell you, I've had calls where I've gone out to several of my equine clients and we need to take x-rays. And I've had clients that are underneath or in close proximity to, it's generally the high tension lines, the ones that are going from the power plant to the substations, and those lines, of course, are bare. They have no insulation around them. And there's something called, you know, an inductive a field, or I forgot the exact electrical term for it, but you get the force field around these things. And I've actually had my portable x-ray machine, you know, where I plugged it in a socket in a barn underneath these things, and I can't get the voltage to stabilize. Little voltmeters just going all over the place. We finally have to walk the horse, you know, over to the house or over to another barn where we can use a different electric outlet.
Wow. So it's enough to throw your machines off, and animals are really sensitive. But then, you know, you think, okay, well, maybe alternative energy is better. But now they've got all this evidence that certain angles from a windmill are damaging the woof, woof, woof kind of noise or pressure or whatever that is to the eardrum of a human is not a good thing. So there's so much to consider. Okay, we have to go to break. We're on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We're talking with Dr. Dawn Canfer, who practices in Florida. And, well, I've got a couple of pet questions, a couple of weird things that happened. And I guess we're going to the environmental side today a little bit. If you want to call in, call us now. We'd love to take your call. We would. We would. And we'd love to take your emails at smartanimaltalk.com. Okay, so please, please send us your pet questions. We'll give you your answers. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we will give you your answers, right, Dr. Canfer?
Absolutely.
What do you feel like talking about today? Let's give them a teaser. What's a topic I haven't hit on that you want to bring up in the next segment?
We'll have to think about that. There's so many of them.
Okay, well, we'll find out when we get back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 national nutrition awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I know all of you out there have your own professions, your own expertise, and things that drive you crazy in your field. Like when I get a call and someone tells me they have a Rottweiler, and I so want to tell them there's no such thing as a Rottweiler, it's a Rottweiler. Or they tell me they have a Burmese dog, which is some kind of cross between a cat and a dog, if it exists, because a Bernese mountain dog spelled with an N and a Burmese cat. But of course, these things aren't that bad. When someone calls and says they have hip displacement, does it send you your teeth gritting, Dr. Canfer, because it's really hip dysplasia? Or are you okay with these small mistakes?
Oh, sure. They want a distemper shot because they need to improve the dog's distemperament.
Oh, that's good. I like that one. Okay, so you've got your pet peeves there. What about instructions, directions, prescriptions? Are you finding you're wasting your time telling people what to do?
Oh, God, I talk myself blue in the face some days. And, you know, every package, if you, you know, just they have the little eye symbol on there, says take time, read directions.
Yes.
Nobody, it seems to be an American phenomenon. I don't know. I don't seem to see this so much in Europe or the rest of the world, but there's something about Americans where we just, it's anathema to read directions. No one wants to read instructions. My favorite line to my clients, every time I hand them something, some medication or something, I said, now remember, when all else fails, read the instructions.
But it shouldn't be when all else fails. You should read the instructions before you open the medicine, before you get home, so you can mark it on your calendar when you're supposed to give it. I have a lot of trouble with customers who are on something like prednisone, where the dose isn't simple. It's not, and they'll bring their dog to camp with these pills, and it's obvious they're getting it wrong. They didn't mark it on a calendar, and it's not one pill a day every day or half a pill every 2 days. It's one pill every day, then half a pill every other day, then a quarter pill every third day. It's some kind of crazy, slippery, sliding scale of medicine that you have to write down. How do you get your clients to follow that kind of stuff?
Well, part of the problem we have is spouses or significant others or parents and children. I've never understood why two people get married and they have no intention of speaking to each other. It goes on every day. Someone will bring.
So you're a bit of a marriage counselor in your vet practice. Oh no.
you know, the someone say, well, you know, my wife brought the dog in. She didn't say, oh, he didn't say that to me, or she didn't say that to me. Or, and it's like, well, you're married, aren't you? You live together. Do you talk to each other? Do you communicate? Do you speak with one another? What do you talk about? It's, I have no idea. It's just the level of ignorance is beyond me. My other favorite quote that we were talking about earlier is from Einstein. Everybody's heard of Einstein. And Albert Einstein had a supposedly attributed to him. I don't know. I quote this at least two or three times a day. He said, there are only two things that are infinite. One is the universe, and the other is human stupidity. And I have serious doubts about the universe.
Oh, what a cynic. See, and then sometimes people can be so bright and so caring and so lovely. Well, if you want to ask Dr. Camphor a question, and I know you're probably daunted now, he sounds intimidating, but he's really not. He's really there to help your animals. So if you want to ask him a question, you can call us right now, 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. He's been practicing veterinary medicine a long time. He's seen a lot of different animals. So he's probably seen your problem before. If you've got something you can't fix or you've been to the vet a bunch of times and it's just not working out, give us a call today, 1-888-627-6008, and we'll solve your problem. Well, I don't know. I have hope in humanity. The other day I had something really strange happen to me. I was driving home from school with my kids, and this dog, this big black dog with a white mask, kind of a, you know, sort of scraggly looking old guy, starts walking across in front of my van, and he's walking across in front of other cars, and he looks like he doesn't know where he's going. He looks a bit out of it. So I tell my kids to stay in the car, and I get out and I go read his tag. He's got a license number. So I kind of walk him back to my car, and he sort of ambles over. He's very confused. He thinks all the cars slowing down for him are there to say hello to him. And he's clearly going to get hit if I don't do something. So I call the local SPCA, and they look up his number. And they say, you know, it's going to be 10 minutes. Can you hold? And I said, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll hold. So I'm standing there with the kids, and I said to the kids, well, it's going to be 10 minutes. So let's come up with a name for this guy. I think, let's see, what's your name, buddy? And I look right at him, and all of a sudden I think, Bear. So I said to the kids, well, I guess his name is Bear. We're going to call him Bear. And my kids are like, well, he doesn't really look like a bear. I said, I know, but he thinks his name is Bear, and I think his name is Bear. So let's call him Bear. The dog starts wagging his tail, and he looks a little more relaxed. And anyway, the lady comes back on the phone a few minutes later, and she says, the dog you've got, his name is Bear. And my kids just look at me. They're like, how did you know that? He doesn't even look like a bear. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, guys. And sometimes animals, they just get their message through, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. They have their ways of communicating.
They do. They do. And sometimes it can make the hair stand up on your arms. Like when they use that same thing that makes them afraid of thunder to get away from a storm. You know, and I feel, or to get away from a disaster that people drown in and people die in. And I feel like we didn't really cover that maybe enough. There are lots of things you can do to make your dog more comfortable or your cat more comfortable. Turn on some music, maybe some talk radio. Close all the blinds and the windows and the curtains. Darken the room when a storm's coming or when there are storms. Figure out what your dog or cat likes the best. If your cat just wants to hide under the bed, then let it. If your dog just wants to hide in the basement or the bathroom, that's okay. That's its coping way, you know. So try and figure out what your animal really, really needs. And if you can, try to diffuse it. And I know that's hard, but figure out what will comfort him. Some dogs get so anxious. You know, one of the things I notice, and I want to ask you if you notice this in your practice, Dr. Camphor, one of the things I notice with the calls I get on this, with dogs who are afraid of fireworks and thunder, is that they're almost never puppies. They're almost always 3, 4, 5, and usually older. It's the old dogs that maybe don't even hear anymore that are the most afraid of thunder, it seems to me. Do you find this too?
Yes, and isn't it strange that there's the exact opposite in humans? It's always young
children
afraid of thunder, and as we get older, the adults, you know, we understand what it is, and it doesn't bother us anymore.
But then children also have a much more sensitive time in airplanes and altitude changing and the ear infections when they fly. Like there's a whole thing going on there that doesn't affect adults. And I wonder if there's a connection there in pressure changing.
Yeah, that's different. That's due to anatomical differences in the eustachian tube. And you know, as you get older, the diameter of the tube gets larger and that sort of thing. That is different.
Do you think children, because of that, when on the ground, are more sensitive to the pressure changes climate brings because of their ears?
Hmm.
That's what I'm asking. Not so much if dogs have the same ears as kids. I'm asking if this thing that hurts kids in the air, oh, we're running into break. Well, we're going to come back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. If you've got a question for us, it's 1-888-627-6008. And I think Dr. Camper's going to think about that. So we'll hear the answer when we get back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near, I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait, I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I guess the answer was no. No, the kids won't react on the ground to air pressure changes because the pressure changes aren't big enough. But then, Dr. Camper, you mentioned swimmer's ear. And I kind of want to talk about that because there are an awful lot of dogs who will not only swim all the time with their deep spaniel, golden retriever kind of ears, droopy ears that get a lot of dark, wet time, but they'll also dive. They'll dive for things on the bottom. So what are people to do? If they've got a dog who loves swimming, they don't want to deny him his swimming. Can they do something to not be all the time with the ear meds and the antibiotics and the swabbing and the cleaning and the all that goes with it? Maybe antibiotics too. It's a mess sometimes, right? It's like a whole garden in there.
Yeah, there's always a remedy. Several things. Of course, I always tell all my clients, if you have a dog that swims or lives outside, gets wet a lot or gets bathing a lot or goes to the groomer a lot, you always want to make sure you have a jumbo economy size bottle of ear wash handy. Most of the dog ear washes have a glycol base in them that aids in removing water. In fact, most of them, if you take the time to read the labels, will say drying agent, you know, cleaning, drying, whatever. And I tell my clients, every time your dog is near water, in water, comes out of the water, put a squirt of this stuff in his ear, massage it in for a few seconds, and let the dog shake it out. This will facilitate the evaporation of the whatever residual water is in the ear. And most all of your you know, brand name dog ear cleaners also have organic acids in them, so they'll leave the inside of the ear acidic, which discourages the growth of all these garden type germs, yeast, fungus, bacteria, whatever likes to grow in there. But if you have a dog that has chronic ear problems and you can't keep them out of the water, surgery is your next best option. There are several surgical techniques that can be done to open up the ear canal to facilitate, you know, airflow, owner access to get in there to clean it, let wax and dirt, you know, work their way out. There's things that can be done. Ideally, these surgical procedures should be done very early on before a lot of chronic changes take place to the ear, and then you get less benefit.
Because I've seen a dog with almost like a rugby player ear. If you've ever seen a guy who plays rugby and is in that position where he's bumping against other guys, his ear gets squashed, and his whole life he has like a squashed ear. I've seen a dog where it almost like, I guess it looked, it was all squishy and mushy, and there was that one ear was just almost like a piece of meat. It was so sad to see. And they said it was from chronic shaking for years and years and years. This was a rescue dog. The people who owned it had done whatever they could. But I think sometimes we don't realize how serious it can be. And sometimes, a lot of times, I find there's an underlying food allergy that's making the ear susceptible to yeasty type situations. And so if they get the food right, a lot of this disappears. But they still have to get those ears dry after swimming, right? You really, really got to clean them out, dry them out. Don't leave your dog wet. Is that what I'm hearing you tell them?
Absolutely. I mean, there's lots of dogs that can tolerate it. We see a lot of dogs that go swimming, and obviously every dog that goes swimming doesn't have an ear infection. But the ones that do or are prone to ear infections, allergies are the number one underlying cause of ear problems in dogs. Principally, there's two kinds. There is what we call atopy, which is allergies to environmental things, generally molds, pollen, dust, mites, insect excrement, weeds, grasses, things in the environment that can either be inhaled or absorbed through the skin. And then the other allergy, as you stated, is food-based. Food-based allergies are the easiest to rule out because there are special diets that you can get from your vet. As long as you don't cheat and you keep the dog on them properly, you can rule out food allergies generally in within 90 days. As long as you don't cheat and give the dog other foods during that time. If you do identify a food allergy, then yeah, you can tinker with the dog's diet to try to avoid the things that cause relapses. Atopy, on the other hand, is a little bit harder. That usually will require the intervention of a veterinary dermatologist. You know, they got to do skin tests or blood tests or a combination thereof to try to get to the root causes of them. And then you can try desensitization treatment. A lot of these dogs, just for convenience or for financial reasons, the owners just elect to keep them on a lifetime of cortisone or prednisone, and that will alleviate the symptoms.
Yeah, but I find that so sad because for me, prednisone changes behavior. You get a dog who's so obsessed with eating, he's so hungry all the time, and sometimes it can exhibit an aggression toward other animals if there's food around or people, but sometimes it's just like you traded in your pet for a vacuum. He's just, you know, nose to the ground all the time. His personality is gone. So I'm really hesitant to go that route. I always try and make people figure out something, figure out the cause, figure out the way, because there's got to be a way other than a steroid that just kind of shuts down its system. But I do understand when the dog goes bald every year and you just can't bear to look at him. I get why that happens. If you're listening to today's show and you wish you knew more about how to allergy test, I did go through it quickly last show. So if you want to look it up, it'll be on my website, debwolf.net, coming up soon. I log all the old shows and index them eventually. I'm a little busy with dogs right now. I had 6 standard poodle puppies born. So I'm taking care of them, and they just opened their eyes a few days ago. They're just adorable. So I'm taking care of them and running Camp Good Dog, and now we have a teacher strike here. So I've got the kids in the mix of everything as well, even today. But I will get last week's show up eventually, and you'll be able to find out how to allergy test your dog, just how to figure out if what you're feeding your dog. There's an easy way and a hard way, a short way and a long way, to a more thorough way and a quick way. If you're lucky, you can figure out pretty quickly what your dog's allergic to. If it doesn't work, though, you got to keep going and going and going. And like Dr. Camphor said, it does take weeks on each test to figure out if that particular food irritates or not. Like when a newborn baby first starts solid foods, you introduce one food at a time for a few weeks, because otherwise you wouldn't know what was aggravating the dog or the person. So, okay, so you can look that up. I also wanted to read to you an email that came in while we were on break there. There's a Doberman rescue dog, a little on the nervous side, named Koa. And the people who sent the email, they're part of Friends of the Fur Bearers. They're people who fight for the rights of all kinds of animals caught in illegal traps and dogs and cats sold in the fur trade and stuff like that. So I love this organization. So I want to help them with their problem, Koa the Doberman. And we're going to have to go to break and probably solve it after we come back because we only have a couple minutes. But I'll just describe their problem. They say Koa never really had allergy problems. They took a trip to California 3 or 4 years ago in spring, and Koa got hot spots all over his body. So they had to go, you know, the route with the antibiotics. They saw the vet in America. They did all that. Now they're back in Canada, and every spring, Koa develops these allergic patches of baldness and picks at himself and obviously has allergy problems. And once again this year, Koa had to go to the vet. Now, Koa, it was caught early enough this year that all he needed was cream and a cone put on while the cream was drying so he wouldn't lick the cream off. That was the only thing he needed. He didn't have to go through the whole situation, which, you know, if you take your dog in quickly to the vet, you're going to get less bills than if you wait till it's horribly infected when you have a problem. But so they did, you know, the dog got in at the right time. But they want to know what they can do and why would an allergy just develop on a trip and then continue? Would it have developed anyway? What can they do to keep their dog healthy in the spring without it kind of erupting into this hotspot situation? And maybe Dr. Kempfer, when we get back, you can explain what hotspots are, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, we can do that.
All right. So for all of you dealing with dogs who swim in hot climates and dogs with ruffs, the area around the neck that's really, really furry, you've probably got a hotspot somewhere in your future if you haven't had it already. Stay tuned and we'll ask Dr. Kempfer how to deal with hotspots and how to deal with an allergy that presents all of a sudden and then year after year on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that,
you know
I really do,
I really do.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you're referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
And anytime you're near, I love
you. Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I just figured out that Dr. Kempfer is actually very cheeky. He was giving me advice I was taking seriously, and I was writing it all down thinking he was recommending specific clinics in specific states for specific problems when I realized, Oh my gosh, he's being sarcastic. Okay, everybody, listen to what he suggests for you. If you have a dog with chronic allergies, go ahead, Dr. Camphor.
in a word, Bismarck. For those of you who are geographically challenged, that is the capital of North Dakota. For those of you who live north of our border and don't want to go to America, Winnipeg and most of Saskatchewan is pretty good too. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, is you need to get the animal into a different climate. Generally, the northern Rocky Mountain, northern Great Plains states, pretty much anything on the eastern slope of the Rocky Mountains, particularly north of the Canadian border, is great for animals with allergies.
So you're saying if somebody has a chronic problem with allergies, they have to up and move their entire family for the sake of the dog or the cat who's scratchy or itchy to a place where stuff just doesn't grow?
Yeah,
that's what you're saying? Oh, lovely. Oh, yeah, I'll get right on that. I'll leave my beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where everything is blooming all the time, and go live where? Saskatchewan? Okay, I don't mean to offend the people in Saskatchewan, but don't expect me soon.
But no. Actually, however, from a medical standpoint, there is relief on the way. Zoetis, or used to belong be Pfizer, now it's called Zoetis, whatever they want to pronounce it. They are the first company to come out with a new class of drugs. Some of our listeners may have heard about it through their veterinarian. It's called Apoquil. It is a whole new class of drugs designed to address pruritus or itching and the allergic reaction. It's based on a whole new type of chemical intermediary, just a chemicals in your body that are responsible for the whole allergic and itching reaction. And the more we learn about science and genetics and we get into the molecular biology of these things, you know, as technology marches along, we're coming up with better and better drugs with less side effects that will actually target the actual itching without all the side effects of the older drugs like cortisone and prednisone. And these drugs are right now.
Yeah, you know, it seems like
The treatment of these things. The problem is Zoetis was the first one to come out with it. They hyped it all up, gave seminars to the vet, talked to us all about it, taught us all about it, and now they're saying they can't deliver the drug till sometime in mid-2015. So right now, only a handful of board-certified dermatology practices have access to what little of the drug they have made available to, like I said, to specialty practices for the purpose of, you know, experimenting it and getting feedback on
it. Kind of, this whole area of new medicine is kind of strange. Like we sort of touched on it earlier in the show when we spoke about how I was talking to someone who set up a website for veterinary specialists. And, you know, it's a regular vet is just expected to know absolutely everything you would never expect your GP to know in such detail, you know. Mm-hmm. And then with this, there's this overlap where if your dog has cancer, he can get his scans and his lab work and his everything done so quickly. But in Canada, where we have socialized medicine, well, you're going to wait a lot longer than your dog or cat to get the care you need, like years longer, you know, really. You'll be on a wait list for months for the same thing you take your dog in next week. And of course, you're paying for the dog. But it's also remarkable how when a dog has cancer or something like that, they can draw a whole bunch of specialists and all kinds of care immediately at one of these specialized places that deals with this. Whereas as a human, oh my goodness, it would take quite a lot of moving you from here to there and waiting here and there. And you know what I mean? Just doesn't seem as well coordinated. And then the drugs, they get access first, don't they? The pets, a lot of times, because they're tried on the pets first, right? The trials are done on pets and then on people. Isn't that how it goes?
That's oftentimes how it is. And then conversely, we take a lot of the human drugs and, you know, most veterinarians being creative types, you know, every time a new drug comes out for people, we're the first ones to see how it's going to work on an animal. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, it works both ways. The difference lies in the fact that the veterinary profession to a large degree has resisted the bureaucratization that's happened to human medicines. We managed to keep the third-party parasites out of our medical delivery system.
Well, we only have 1 minute left in this segment, but I do want to come back and talk more specifically about COA, if you wouldn't mind. The Doberman, who's a little bit nervous, didn't have allergies, went to California once, then blew up in hot spots, and now every single spring, hot spot problem. So Do you mind talking about hot spots when we get back, Dr. Camper?
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, I think I actually have a little bit more time. What is a hot spot?
Okay, a hot spot is just a local area of bacterial infection in the skin. So it's generally they're caused by staph or strep bacteria. Most normal animal skin is resistant. You and I have billions and billions and billions of staph bacteria on every square inch of our skin, and it obviously doesn't bother us. So do most dogs. Generally, there's some kind of an underlying allergy or something makes the animal start to bite, rub, scratch, chew, get the area irritated. Allergies just break down the natural defensive barrier of the skin, and then the surface bacteria that are there normally in a harmless manner begin to get a foothold and start to eat into the skin and cause a local infection.
You know, I can hear your skinny cat.
I can hear your skinny cat.
So, okay, so you know what? One thing that's real easy, and it sounds like it wouldn't work, and people go, oh, yeah, right, that's not going to work, but brush and groom. I'm serious. If you find your dog is constantly reacting when you take it swimming, well, rinse it off every time you take it swimming. I mean, it's very simple. Rinse it, dry it with a hose. You know, set up a sprinkler. Your dog likes to chase, and you might not have to do it yourself. But the same with brushing. If it's pollen season and it happens every single spring, brush your dog when you come in. Get that off him. Right? I mean, it's so simple.
It's very good advice, you know, and if it's a long-haired dog, you know, maybe consider clipping the hair a little shorter for the summer so it's easier to rinse and brush a lot of these allergens off of the dog's, you know, body, because the hair traps this stuff and then it remains in contact with the skin for even longer periods of time.
Or they lick it and then they're ingesting it as well, right? Which is so like double whammy.
They inhale it. They absorb it through their mucous membranes by inhaling it. For whatever reason, you know, allergens can enter the body through a variety of ways. So we can eat them, inhale them, swallow them, absorb them through the skin. There's a million ways they get into our system.
Yeah. So what about COA? Does it surprise you that COA was fine? I guess everybody's fine until they develop something, right?
Yeah. It's a very typical scenario, and even humans, a lot of people will go for years with no allergies, and then all of a sudden, 60 years old, you go into a restaurant, eat a shrimp, and next thing you know, you're in the emergency room with a, you know, tube down your throat. It can happen. Allergies can come on suddenly, or they can just, for unknown reasons, or they can build up gradually over a period of time. But the typical true allergies in animals usually will typically start to set in after the dog's about 2 years old. Animals generally under the age of one or two, they just simply haven't been alive long enough to become allergic to anything.
So he had to have that first exposure. That might have been in California when he was already adult. And then, but probably whatever it was that's there was here. So it would have happened here anyway, right? They got to stop blaming California, don't
right.
they?
Sooner or later it would have occurred anyway. It might have taken a little longer. But yeah, it's just something that happens. And there are ways of, you know, combating these things. Trying to eliminate the allergens at the source or rinsing them off after contact with the dog. A local hot spot can be treated if it's just one or two small spots. You can treat it with topical medications. The secret is getting the animal to stop mutilating itself and eliminate the source of the infection. And if it becomes a repeated problem, you know, you probably do want to have the dog screen for underlying problems. Sometimes we do find out the animal's diabetic, or they have Cushing's disease, or they're hypothyroid. Sometimes there is a medical reason why this is happening, and you know, any veterinarian can very quickly, with simple blood tests, you know, rule these things out.
Because the system's so stressed that this is just the outward sign, right? And there's really something bigger going on. And sometimes it can be emotional stress. Someone died in the family, they moved, someone moved in next door, all that kind of stuff. But I found with a hot spot, you got to really cut the hair around it or shave it real close. Because if you see what looks like a dime-sized hot spot, it's probably four times that size, really. You're just seeing the little bit. Oh, we've run out of time, and it actually is our last segment this week, but I know you'll come back. You'll come back, right?
I will come back. I don't know about our listeners.
Oh, they'll come back, and maybe they'll even call us instead of sending us emails. I'm really glad for your email from COA, and I hope we helped you a little bit today. With a hotspot, though, make sure you get on it. Get it clean. Get it dry. Stop your dog from picking it open and get it to the vet if it persists. Okay, Dr. Camper, once again, thank you very much for helping us take care of our animals at Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
And everybody, if you want, smartanimaltalk.com, send me your emails, and I'll put them to, if you say you want to ask Dr. Kampfer, I'll put them right to him next time he's on. And if you've got a question about training, your cat won't use the litter box, your dog won't come, your dog hates your cat, anything at all, just send it to me, and I'll help you on air. Or better yet, call in next time. We'll be back next week, same time, at Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. This is Deb Wolf, and I'm about to go out and play with my puppies. If you want to see my new puppies, go to Camp Good Dog on Facebook, and you can see them. They're beautiful. Bye-bye. Until next week, be good to your animals.